Okay, hello everyone. Today we are speaking about capitalism, whether or not capitalism is a Torah value, also oftentimes in halacha called hasagas gvul, which is like encroaching on someone's territory. So that's what we're going to speak about today. So we're going to start off with a pretty obvious, well, not so obvious, but sometimes obvious, which is in halacha, there's two different big halachos when dealing with business. The first one is about having fair weights and measurements. That's a halacha that is even included in the Shev Mitzvos B'nei Noach, that even non-Jews have to follow, which is to have fair weights and measurements, punishable by lashes if you don't. So that is number one. Number two is that you have to serve, you have to give people a fair price on products. So unlike what happened potentially, at the beginning of COVID, where hand sanitizer for one little bottle cost, your leg and your first unborn child, you would not necessarily be able or allowed to do that, according to halacha. So that's going to be kind of our framing of assuming people are going to be honest, with fair measurements and weights and prices, that means as well. What about like what we might call like a free market or free enterprise, capitalistic type society? Any questions, comments, concerns before we kind of delve into it? Okay, so before we delve into it, I want to hear what you guys have to say. What do you think? Do we think that capitalism is a Torah value? And if so, why or why not? Flavia? Yeah, go ahead. Why not? Okay. Does everyone hear that? So basically it's in the Jubilee year, which is the 49th or into the 50th year it's a 7-year cycle. And then the 49th, so the 7th cycle of the 7 cycles, you have this year where basically all debts are canceled, which is also Shemitah. In every 7 years, debts are canceled and land goes back to its original owner or reverts back, all these types of things that happen. So Flavia is basically asserting that maybe it's not incompatible with Torah values, but it's not necessarily what the Torah prescribes as ideal, right? Yeah, Moshe, go ahead.
No, I feel like the Torah does want capitalism, but like you pay a lot of taxes and stuff. Like everything, like Levim and Kohanim, you have to give a tenth to them, all these stuff, Shemitah, they're just like rules. At the end of the day, like there are richer and more, like,
right. So what Moshe is saying is, like we have to pay taxes in regular modern society, so too they might not have had taxes back in the ancient day. I mean, they did have some sort of tax system, but instead you have this idea of giving gifts to the Levites and to the priests and that are requirements of when you have certain things. So in that case, just put it on a plate, please. So in those cases, that kind of acts as like a tax, and therefore and there are also richer and poorer Jews that you were saying, and therefore it might be okay. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Adam.
Tzedakah would be useless in a communist society.
Okay, that's interesting. The idea of tzedakah, charity, in a communist society would have no place, because if everyone shares everything, you don't have poor people and you don't really need charity anymore. So then you're saying, therefore, it's not communism, but why then capitalism? Why not a different type of market economy? Sammy, go ahead.
I think that it does also work in certain situations where, like, in just the idea of, this is, like, more of a stretch.
Okay, it's okay. We like stretches.
And the idea of Judaism itself, like, we should be striving to work harder ourselves and not just rely on Hashem for everything. And working for our money and making sure that we're putting in more effort to get more things for ourselves. Kind of like
So Sam is saying a very important point in Judaism, right? We don't believe that you can just rely on God. You have to do your ishtadlus. You have to put in effort and you can't just wait for God. But then the opposite question that I just asked Adam, which is, why can't you do that in a communist society? They work very hard for their money. They just share it.
Like, let's say you want to become very, very rich and successful, more so than you ever could in a communist country or whatever. You have to prove it to yourself. You have to prove it to your coworkers. You have to prove it to everyone around you. And you have to build something, whether it is a show with yourself or a company of your own.
Right.
You must build something and make sure that it grows and it's successful to make
right.
that money.
Right. So Sammy's basically saying if you want to potentially grow richer than the other people, so then you would have to then go out of communism and go to a larger one. Yeah, Flavia.
So sort of answer my extent, the main objective of capitalism is the search for profit, so you want to maximize your profit and minimize your costs. Whereas in Judaism, there is a cost to maximizing profits. Like, you can't, right, give anybody unfair wages and unfair weights and measures. But in capitalism, in a purely capitalistic society, that would be your pejorative. Like, you would have to do that in order to create as much...
Potential, yeah. So, I mean... I think that's true about America probably also, that we're not a purely capitalistic society. I mean, like you said, in a purely capitalistic society, I don't have to pay a minimum wage of $15 and make sure that you're relying on tips and making sure that OSHA violations and this, I could make everyone work in sweatshops and, you know, get really cheap labor. It's true. So I think we're kind of talking about the – not a pure capitalistic society, but rather the idea of capitalism, a free enterprise of anybody could open anything. Any last comments before we kind of delve into – into what I have. Okay, so as always, feel free to interrupt with questions, comments, concerns. So the Gemara in Bava Basra basically says that you're not allowed to put a fishing net next to someone else's fishing net because if the first person who has a fishing net there, all the fish are basically going to go into that net because it's already set up in that process. So the Gemara counts that as if those fish that were going to go into the net as already caught and therefore in the possession of the first owner. So if I now set up a second net, I am now actively taking away from this first person's net because they're already considered caught by the first person because he set up a net. And therefore, it is as if I've taken him. And the Amorim, they argue back and forth about someone who wants to open up a store in a mavoi. A mavoi is really, it's really translated as an alley, but they kind of use the alley almost like a shuk, like a specific shuk, like a, what would they call, like a market, what's it called, like when you go, like a shopping area that has a parking lot that there's like five shops there. What is that called? What? A center? Shopping center? Yeah, like a plaza almost. Let's call a mavoi a plaza. But the problem is, not problem, the Amoraim also apply this to a city. But when we say mavoi, you should think of like a shopping plaza. So if you're at a shopping plaza and there's already a pizza store there, are you allowed to open up a pizza store in the same shopping plaza, in the same mavoi? And the Amoraim argue back and forth. So it's going to get a little confusing because there's two opinions and the two main opinions that we're going to discuss have the same exact name. So there's Rav Huna who says that the second one is going to disrupt the operation and the business of the first one, and therefore you would not be allowed to open up. And Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua, so you have just Rav Huna and Rav Huna ben Yehoshua, says that you would be allowed to open up a second store. Why were you allowed to open up a second pizza store? Because he claims that whoever's going to come to your shop is going to go to your shop. Whoever's going to come to my shop is going to come to my shop. And then it will be fine. So therefore, the Gemara comes down and actually allows one to open up a second shop in the same mavoi, in the same like shopping plaza like. But only if you're not doing it to totally demolish the first one. So if you're doing it because you want to open up a second pizza shop, not because you're like, I want to hurt first pizza shop, I hate that guy, or I hate his pizza, or he rejected me from a job, and therefore I will close him down. Or you don't want to try to hurt his business. Let's assume Jews for now. It's much easier to discuss it. It gets a little bit trickier with non-Jews. So let's just assume all Jews for now. So most Rishonim will say, and the Shulchan Aruch, are going to actually say, like Rav Huna ben Rav Yoshua, the second opinion, which says that you would be allowed to open up the second shop. The Rif, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch all don't even mention this whole idea of the fishing net. So this whole idea of not being able to put a second fishing net because it's like they're already caught, they do not apply that. So seemingly they would not apply this idea of first pizza shop already has this customer, like all the customers already caught, so to speak. So putting out a second pizza store would like be stealing that customer base. They do not even mention this Gemara at all. So seemingly they reject it, as does the Shulchan, as does potentially the Gemara, because the Gemara doesn't bring it down in its final discussion. And even the Meiri allows the opening up the second pizza shop. You had a question, yeah?
What if this company is like a monopoly and it's like doing harm towards the community in certain ways of like...
You're saying the first pizza shop?
Yes, the first pizza shop. And it's like...
So we're going to talk. Can you hold your question? Because we're going to get back to it. If I don't, ask your question again, okay? So Rav Huna ben Rav Yoshua, again, this is our second opinion, basically allows new, let's call, just keep using the example of pizza shops because it's easy to think of it as pizza shops, but it could be anything, hardware stores, whatever, if they come from the same city. So if they come from Brooklyn as well and they want to open up a new pizza shop in Brooklyn, let's say, or let's use Plainview, my home community, right? If there's one pizza store in Plainview, if someone wants to open up a second pizza store in Plainview, Rav Huna ben Rav Yoshua really wants it to be that they're both from Plainview, because they both have access and they both have the rights to open up on their home turf. But someone who comes from a different city, if someone from Brooklyn says, I really want to open up a pizza shop in Plainview, but if there is already a first pizza shop in Plainview, open up a second one from the city that you're not from, it is a little bit more problematic, according to Rav Huna ben Rav Yoshua. Because you don't necessarily have the right to just go into any town and just open up a pizza shop there. So you would not be allowed to. And then there's a question about like what happens if you're from the same town, but you're from a different mavoi, you're from a different shopping center. So I have a pizza shop in shopping center A, and now I want to open up a pizza shop in shopping center B, but there's already a pizza shop there. Am I allowed to put it there? So seemingly, it would be allowed. The Gemara, says that you would be allowed, to, if you pay a tax to that city, you would be allowed to go and open up use our example of a pizza shop there. So you're considered a resident, considered your home turf if you're paying taxes there. But Tosfot says that this is only, talking about a mavoi that doesn't have another thing already, meaning you can't say, well, this is my home turf now, and therefore I could just open up in that shopping center because this is my home turf because I'm paying taxes. No, if you're from not from a different city, if you're paying taxes, according to Tosfot, you have to open up in a different shopping center. Leo, yeah.
You said there's two different opinions. One opinion is found out, one opinion is about.
Yeah.
So
yeah, so we look at, it's hard to really choose, and we look at our sages to say like what is the right decision, and we rely on them to really to do it out, and that's what we do here in Lunch and Learns, is look at A, the sages, and B, at the halachic works through the centuries to see what people much greater than I have said, and to kind of bring it down and say and kind of understand what we should be doing in our life. So it is really tough, and that's what we're trying to figure out. Is like Rav Huna says that if you're not allowing the second one because it's going to disrupt the first one, the second one says no. Rav Huna ben Rav Yoshua says no. You are allowed to because as long as you're not hurting the first one, whoever's going to go to you is going to go to you. Whoever's going to come to me is going to come to me. So now we're just trying to figure out like, well, what does that mean realistically? And we're using this as a model to kind of look at the bigger picture of free enterprise capitalism of not pure capitalist society again, of like free enterprise capitalism of what does Judaism say about free enterprise? Can we just open up shop whenever we want, wherever we want? Seemingly it's this big fight where we might have thought originally when we first sat down, like, okay, I could open up a pizza shop if I wanted to. Maybe not so clear if you can open up a pizza shop right next to a place that already has a pizza shop. Or again, a hardware store, a music store, whatever else you want, history books, whatever. Yes, answers your question. Anyone else? Yes, Sammy.
How far away would you have to be for it to be considered like?
Okay, so a mavoi is really an alleyway. So they're talking about like where you have like a shuk, and it's like along like the walls of the alley, like and all around. So. I mean, you shouldn't go and like build a second shopping center right next to it and like with more flashier signs. Like that's the direct competition just because it's technically in a different alley, like whatever. I think that's really talking about like when you have shuks already set up, if you have shopping plazas already set up. So don't go to a shopping plaza that already has a thing there of whatever you're opening. Go to a different one because then you're less competitive and you're really doing it again, not to hurt the other person, but to – and you're not putting a second – fishing net, right? You could say, well, what's a second fishing net? Is a second fishing net I can't go in the Pacific Ocean because one person is in the Pacific Ocean? No. So you just have to realize like what realistically is far away. And I think people have to kind of use their own determination. In the end of the day, a lot of these situations, unfortunately for this one, spoiler alert, there's not really a clear answer of how far away you have to be. And all these matters they basically say is should be brought to a rabbi who's very competent in these things saying, I want to open up this pizza shop. Is this far enough away from this place that I'm allowed to open? So getting back into it. So again, Tosfot would say that you're not allowed to open up in the same mavoi. You would have to open up in a different mavoi. And the Rama agrees. So la halacha, we say that you, if even if you are doing it in this... even if you're paying taxes in this area, you would still not be allowed to open up a second one wherever you want in the same mavoi. But then there's the opinion of the Evi Yasaf, and this is from Rav Eliezer ben Yoel Halevi, more commonly known as the Rav Yah, who lived around the 1200s, who basically said that you're not allowed to open a second. Again, I'm going to use the example of a pizza shop in the entrance of a closed mavoi. So in the case of a real alley, like a dead end alley, so if there's a pizza shop all the way at the end, you're not allowed to build a pizza shop at the front of the alley because then again, you're like the net situation where you're casting a net, right? You're basically catching all the customers as they come, and then they'll never get to the end of the alley, especially because it's a dead end, and therefore you are like basically destroying that person's business. Yeah.
What if it's vice versa? They have theirs in the front, the first one has theirs in the front, and then you want to put yours all the way in the back.
Yeah, so then again, you would have to follow the ideas of what are the requirements of opening up in the same mavoi, meaning that you have to be from that city because you have the same rights and you have to do it not to destroy the first person, all those things would still apply. But otherwise, the whole idea here is if I'm passing you first, so if you're purposely opening up to undermine me because you got a better location because I have to pass you first, so I'm not going to go to a further pizza store if I have a pizza store much closer, so then it could be problematic because then you're really encroaching on this person's territory. And the biggest reason is again that you're taking all these customers that are no longer going to see that first store in the back. The Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Karo, who also wrote the Shulchan Aruch, says that the Evi Asaf is going like Rav Huna, the first opinion, and we go like Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yoshua. So it might not actually apply the Evi Asaf because we actually go by the second one, which says whoever's going to come to you is going to come to you, whoever's going to come to me is going to come to me. So therefore, you don't have to worry about that according to the Beis Yosef. And he even writes that in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Rama says that even Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yoshua, the second opinion, is going to not allow you to open up this brand new pizza store in a closed alleyway, in a closed mavoi, because it's, again, inflicting harm onto the second one, onto the first one, that you're intentionally but kind of like you're basically destroying the first one because it's so far back, people are going to pass by. So the Rama also says that a story that he was adjudicating between on a Beis Din in a Jewish court, and he basically said that there were like two editions printed of a Rambam, and he said that the second one was no one was allowed to buy from the second person who printed out an edition of the Rambam because it was encroaching on the first one's territory. So the Rama really holds that you're not allowed to because he equates the two situations because it's really destroying the idea of the first one. And so then now we're going to go more contemporary. The Rashba says that you're not allowed to go after the customers of the first one. So if you're opening up a second pizza shop, you would not be allowed to go after the customers of the first one. You have to, again, like Rabbi Yeshua, Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua says, is you really have to get customers on your own. You can't go after, we have the best prices, you know, those are purposely getting those pizza people. You have to get the people that are, whoever's going to come to you is going to come to you, whoever's going to come to me is come to me. You can't get the people who are going to go to you. Yes? We're all on the same page? Okay. Chasam Sofer then says that Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua, the second opinion, only allows this situation if the even in just the profits decrease, but if the profits decrease of the first one, not, again, to destroy the second one. So again, it's whoever's going to come to you is going to come to you, but not to destroy me. Meaning, you can't just say whoever's going to come to me is going to come to me. I can't help it if I'm the best, and therefore you're going to be totally destroyed, right? It has to be really, I'm serving a different population that is not already served. If this population is being served, then we have a problem. Yes, Emmy.
So if you were happen to be better at making pizza.
Okay, good. So now we're going to get to what happens if you're better. So Chavos Ya'ir says that David HaMelech, David, would actually praise those, I'm going to get to it in a second, they'll praise those who did not open a second business that their friend was already in, and it's a pious idea that you don't do it because technically it's allowed and you specifically don't do it to hurt the other person. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, like the Chasam Sofer, that you're not allowed to destroy the parnasa, the livelihood of someone else, of this person. So, what does that mean that you're not allowed to destroy the livelihood? It means, it doesn't mean that they're not able to put food on the table. It means even that they're not able to live as comfortably as everyone else around them. So if they're not able to buy the same clothing as everyone else around them, or send them to the same school, but go out as much to eat because you opened up a second pizza shop, that would not be allowed. That's considered destroying their parnasa because they had a pinch. Okay. So now we're going to get to – so then Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik basically says he was this big Rav in America, and he says this idea of in America of free enterprise, so everyone's able to open whatever they want, and he's the one who actually allowed Teaneck stores to open more than one pizza shop, because the question was brought to him, him and Rav Adler and Teaneck, of whether or not you could open more than one pizza shop. And he said, yeah, free enterprise, as long as you're not trying to destroy the other one. And this is the biggest thing, is that the Ramah says that if the second one is cheaper, or if they have better product, like their quality is better, so most poskim will say, then that would be allowed to be opened. However, the Aruch HaShulchan warns and says, but again, not to destroy. If I'm already offering a fair price, and then someone else wants to open up a second store that's a little bit lower, but I can't lower my prices because then I'm not getting a profit, that's to destroy already, because I'm already offering a very reasonable price. Again, we have to go back to our basics, right? You can't charge an exorbitant price, and you have to have fair weights and measures. So if I'm already offering a fair price, you're offering a lower price, but I can't go lower because then I'm losing money. I'm not able to turn a profit. So that would be problematic again. So, and then the Gemara says at the end that even Rav Huna, the first opinion, who said that you're not allowed to, would actually allow this for Torah learning, that you're allowed to have multiple places of Torah learning or multiple teachers, and that's not considered going on someone else's, encroaching on their territory, because there's this idea of Harbatas Torah, that we want to spread Torah around, and we become closer to finding a truer truth in Torah when you have a plethora of opinions, and when there are people who are able to argue with each other in a true way, not like fight each other, but to wrestle in Torah, so to speak, that you could say, okay, well, I think this and I think this, and how we could prove each other better. So he says that for that, we're going to just get closer to the truth, so it's not really a problem. So in the end of the day, it does seem like there is there is some allowance for a capitalistic society. It might not be the most ideal, but again, you have to be a free enterprise could be good. You just have to be careful about, again, monopolies, not to destroy. Oh, so I said I was going to get back to your question. Well, your question was what? Monopolies.
What if they have a monopoly and they're trying to, not trying to, but they're in the process, they are making it so that other people don't have jobs and people are in the community don't have jobs.
So then they're doing the wrong thing.
Right.
They're exactly not following this. They're exactly doing, right, they're undercutting other people's prices. That's the whole idea of a monopoly is I can offer a cheaper thing because I'm bigger and so much so that you can't turn a profit and I'm going to destroy you. That's not what this is about. This is about example. But there are discussions. I did see discussions about things that need to have monopolies that you probably shouldn't because it's for the benefit. Like for some reason, there's something about the power grid that I don't exactly know why it's important to have a monopoly on a power grid.
Because you can't have people fighting over telephone wires. Okay. So
if the hardware is already on the ground, so you need to have a monopoly. So it said, don't think that now you could be like, okay, well, now you can't, you know, I said that you're allowed to encroach. No, you're not allowed to encroach. Some things are important to have monopolies because it's actually for the benefit of the people. So if it's for the benefit of the people, let's try again. All this is to make sure that people are able to have money for their families, to benefit for the people, and making sure that everyone can have their parnasa. Torah values are not always on par on the same level as American Western values, which in Western values, like we kind of started at the beginning, which is make as much money as possible and do as much as you want. Whereas Judaism says that's all nice and dandy. You can make as much money as possible. Just don't start encroaching on someone else's territory. That's when we start to get problems. You had a question?
Yeah. In that case, are you allowed to buy someone out? Like, is that allowed to offer them to be like, okay.
So there's nothing...
Let's say you offer them like a one-time deal, like I'll buy your pizza shop. Let's say they make $100,000 a year, I'll buy the entire pizza shop $100,000. But that's only for the 1 year. Are they, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, you're allowed to say I want to buy. That's just regular buying. Just because you want to have all the stock in pizza, whatever, but it's not stopping from that guy from opening up another pizza shop and then selling it again or not selling it. Again, that's just market economy. We're talking about what happens if now – if you have a shop and I'm starting to encroach on your territory, that would be very different than me approaching you and saying, well, we both have these shops. I have a lot of money. I want to buy you. Yes, Sammy.
Right. So what if you don't have the shop? That's what like I'm curious about. Like, let's say you don't have the shop. You know that you have the skills to make better pizza, and you go up to them and you're like, okay, so I can make better pizza. I can get all the people. It's either.
But you can't get all the people. That's the whole point, is that you can't go after their customer base. So
right, but people will go out of the way to find this extra pizza because it's so much better quality and it's being able to be produced at a cheaper
So again, according to the Ramah, you would have halachic legal precedent to do so, that if your prices are better, like much better, or if your quality is much better. So again, most poskim will say no, but again, the Aruch HaShulchan is going to warn you, don't do it to destroy the first one. So just because you have better pizza doesn't mean that now you should also undercut the prices and also give deals to make sure that people are coming to your place as opposed to the other place. If people hear about it and say, oh, like if you're going around and the Tusi family decides, I was going to pizza shop A, but pizza shop B is so much better, we're only going to go to pizza shop B. And the Tusi family tells the Shaiti family, and the Shaiti family is like, oh, now I'm definitely switching to B. And the Shaiti family tells the Kenko family, I definitely mispronounced that, Leora's family, and then they go to the Sternfeld family. So then they're not stealing anything. It's just word of mouth. People are saying, well, that pizza shop B's pizza is just much better. Sorry about this side of the room. The Illowitz family is like, no, I'm sticking with shop A. Like, shop A is my – those are my guys. But like – but in the end of the day, it's – you're not doing the – you're not going out of your way advertising. Again, you have to make sure you're – again, in halacha, you have to be careful about predatory practices and predatory pricing. So you're not going to go out of your way and tell people, oh, by the way, make sure to tell all your friends that this is the better shop to come to. Make sure to tell you this person, you know, you're not going to go over to people and say, since you're the owner, you're not going to go over to people and say, make sure to buy from my shop. You know, again, you have to make sure it's kind of fair and equitable, and you have to make sure that that person is able to make his livelihood as well.
Right.
Yeah.
What if an employee does that?
Without you telling him at all, he tells the customers after they finish eating that they should tell their friends. If it's an employee, you didn't tell him to do it. He does it out of his own volition.
Well, again, I think you have to kind of think about what is the intention. If the intention is like, I know he's going to do it and I'm not going to speak to him, so hopefully he does it. Or if like I hint to it and to be like, well, I can't do it. Like, obviously that's not okay. If the guy does it, I would highly recommend going to that guy and saying like, listen, that wasn't cool. And like letting him know that's you know, and again, making when you work at a place, you want to be clear what your values are. So I would hope that if you're following halakha, that you're making sure that your values are clear. And you tell someone, guys, this is not what our values are. You know, you tell them when they first start working, guys, this is what our value is. We don't undermine other people's shops. We just make sure that we are the best that we can do. And again, go according to Rav Huna ben Rabbi Yeshua, who says, whoever will come to me will come to me. Whoever will go to you will go to you. And that's kind of how we have to kind of say. Like, for example, there's another learning program that's in this building happening at the same exact time. Do I say, well, we have better food and we have better learning and I'm this and I'm that? No, they're both. I mean, Torah learning, we said, is a little bit different. But I'm saying, like, in the end of the day, I don't try and undermine them. They don't try to undermine me. In the end of the day, it's two, let's say, businesses that are both trying to do great things. So in the end of the day, you have to just know where the line is and what you're offering. I mean, if you're offering a totally different product and you're saying, why are you going to that place? Because they don't actually have what you're looking for. Even that could be questionable, because if they went into a place, they might go into a store and then buy something else, right? That's the whole idea of people buying out stock in shops. They're like, well, you're passing by anyway, and you might not need ice cream, but since you see it on sale, you might pick up ice cream anyway. So I think you just, again, have to be very careful if you're going into a business, that you know what the parameters are, what our values are, and making sure that we stick to them, making sure, again, that we're not destroying anyone else, stealing any customers, and that we're really just, say, standing behind our product and saying, we're going to succeed because we do what we do best. Have a great day.